It's a privilege today to open the Bible with you as we celebrate Aaron's life together. When Larry called me on Thursday night to tell me what had happened to Aaron, like many of you, I didn't believe it. I thought that someone must have made a mistake. I had a meeting on Friday morning. I wouldn't talk about it because I thought for sure when I got to the office, I would find out there'd been a mistake, that it wasn't Aaron. I spent a good part of that night in and out of bed, trying to pray and trying to think and trying to understand. The scripture that kept coming to mind is what Larry read today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains are thrown into the heart of the sea. I was Aaron's friend, and I knew that Aaron wrestled with depression. Depression isn't a word that the Bible uses to describe it, though. The word that the Bible uses, I think, is better. For example, the Psalms speak frequently of a soul that is downcast, of deep and abiding sorrow, and of a longing for joy that always seems out of reach. Many characters in the Bible experience that heartache, and I know that Aaron did too. Many of us who knew Aaron and watched him grow up have been wrestling with what it means when someone who has professed faith in Christ takes their own life. What does the Bible say about it? I want to say two things. First of all, for everyone here, the Bible makes it very clear that no one enters heaven except through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus was very clear. The way is narrow. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is good news. God has made a way. I knew Aaron well enough to know that this is where his trust had been placed. It didn't mean that his struggle for joy was over when he said yes to Jesus. Followers of Jesus, and many of you know this, people who belong to Jesus and are born again by the Spirit of God struggle for joy. The gospel isn't a ticket out of suffering, but it gives us new hope and new strength for facing it. In the end, what Aaron did in taking his own life grieves not only us, but I believe it grieves God as well. This is not what Aaron was made for, and it wasn't what he was called to as a follower of Jesus. The second thing I want to say, though, is this: that the Bible is also very clear that God is sovereign over the entire Christian life. No one, Jesus said, can come to the Father, can come to me, unless the Father who sent me draws him. John chapter 6, verse 44. It was God who first called Aaron to himself. It was God that drew Aaron to Christ. It was God that appointed Mike and Penny and Bridget to be his family, and it was God that gave Aaron life. The Apostle Paul assures us that God will complete the process that he has begun when he calls us, and nothing, not even sin, can ultimately thwart God's purposes for us, for those who belong to Christ Jesus. In Philippians 1:6, the Apostle Paul writes this: he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In fact, he says that the glorification of those who have been called by God through faith in Jesus is so certain, it is as if it has already happened. This is from Romans chapter 8. Those God predestined, he also called. And those that he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also, past tense, glorified. He goes on. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, if God is for Aaron, who can be against him? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, with Jesus, graciously give us everything? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So who is left to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised to life, and is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Shall depression, or suicide, or sin keep us from the love of Christ? He goes on in verse 37, no, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor powers, or height, or depth, nor anything else in all creation, including ourselves, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Years ago, Aaron set his hope in Jesus. And then he wrestled, as all Christians do, with sin and with hopelessness and for joy. The final season of faith, with all of its battles and all of its failures, is not the only season of faith that will bear witness for us on the last day. It isn't our final act that determines our eternal destination. It is Jesus. The simple question today is this: did Aaron belong to Jesus or not? Because if he did, nothing can snatch him away. I wish that Aaron had persevered. I wish that Aaron would have lived to experience what wisdom and maturity and time can teach you. I wish that his testimony had been one of victory over depression. But that isn't what happened. In numerous ways, in his baptism and in his confessions and all those things, Aaron professed faith in Christ alone. And all of our hope for Aaron now rests in that. Our hope does not rest in Aaron's kindness or his quiet spirit. Our hope doesn't rest in our love for Aaron. Our hope rests in the broad mercy of God alone. Our hope for Aaron today rests in the mercy of God to rescue those he has saved, not just from sin, but from themselves. That is the only hope that we offer anyone today. The Bible lifts up and lays before you today a path that is very narrow and a mercy that is very, very broad. God is never absent. Maybe you feel alone today. I promise you, in the name of Jesus, I promise you, you are never alone. Not in our darkest moments. God is always at work. That means that he is at work right now. That he is at work to lift up and magnify the salvation of his son, Jesus. It may be that some of you are here today, who are here today, will date your awakening to the glory of Jesus, to the death of Aaron Bixler. That would be a memorial worth preserving. Keep your flowers and your money. What the Bixlers want is for you to awaken to the wonder and the glory and the majesty and the power of Jesus to save, and only Jesus. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Our hope for Aaron rests in that now. For whatever it's worth, as I grieved for Aaron on Thursday night, I grieved with peace. Peace. Mike and Penny and Bridget, it's a pastor's job to say things on days like this that make sense and to speak for a church to people. This is what your church says to you today. We are so sorry that this happened to you. All of us who had Aaron in life shaping and in the refuge, all the people, Penny, that you've counseled, the women that you've touched through Sammy's, Mike, the people that you've served, we are so sorry. And we want you to know that we are proud of you. We are proud of you and your family. You're a gift to us. And we love you. And we know, every one of us knows, this was not your fault. Aaron made a foolish choice. One that I would plead with everyone who's here, who is struggling with depression, not to make. Aaron knew unconditional love from his family all his life, and he loved you as well. Some years ago, Webster University gave a theatrical presentation of the life of William Cowper, a famous hymn writer. William Cowper wrote beautiful, beautiful hymns, a number of which celebrate and exalt in the broad mercy of Jesus. But at other times, he struggled to accept the fact that God's grace could save a sinner like him. He wrestled with depression. He was depressed much of his life and tried to take his own life on several occasions. Eventually, his friend, John Newton, the pastor who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, took William Cowper into his home to care for him. But Newton was unable to convince Cowper that God's grace was sufficient. In the last scene of the play, John Newton stands at the bedside of William Cowper, trying to convince him that God's grace will take him to heaven. In those final moments, Cowper could not believe it, and eventually he died. In the last scene of the play, Newton pauses for a moment after Cowper's passing and looks up to heaven and says, "See, Cowper, I told you so." We've just celebrated Easter. The resurrection of Jesus is a big, "I told you so." Death and depression do not have the final word. And they need not have the final word for any of us. This is all of our hope and confidence today, that in fact, God is able to finish what Aaron could not. And that today, Aaron knows more fully the truth that we've just been declaring to you, that the mercy of Jesus is broader than we can imagine, that he knows it better now, right now, than you can imagine. Let's pray. God in heaven, we love you. And all our hope today rests in you. Thank you for the life of Aaron. Thank you for giving him to Penny and to Mike and to Bridget. I thank you that they have not lost him. I thank you that they've not lost him. God, all our hope rests in you. I ask that you would encourage and comfort. And Father, that today, Aaron's memorial would be men and women who finally turn to you in faith once and for all. Let that be his legacy. Help us to grieve with hope today. We love you. We love you. And we trust you absolutely. In Jesus' name, amen.